Muchas gracias, misionero Miguel Bermúdez Marín. Dios te siga bendiciendo grandemente en esta mañana, hoy, mañana y siempre.
Thank you very much, missionary Miguel Bermúdez Marín. May God continue to bless you this morning, today, tomorrow, and always, and also to all those who are connected through the Amazonas satellite and the Eutelsat satellite in different countries. And there, in Puerto Rico, may God bless you greatly, and us as well. And may He speak directly to our souls, to our hearts, this morning, today is Sunday, January 11 of this year, 2026. Therefore, let's read in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1 and on, where it tells us, "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings, and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave the tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually." And he draws a Star of David there on the right. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And he draws another Star of David there on the right. "And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take the tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they came out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham, and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better." And he draws a Star of David on the left. And here, men that die receive tithes. But there, he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. And as I may so say, Levi also, who receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. The trajectory of the King of Kings. You may be seated if you'd be so kind. In the message, the Word made flesh at the last day, preached on July 5 of 2008 in Cali, Colombia, there he tells us, "And now, for the end time, looking at history, we can see that the Word, which was made flesh 2,000 years ago, the Word, the angel of the covenant, has since been in the midst of His church and has become flesh in the portion relevant to each age, in the messenger of each age, to bring forth in the spiritual sphere, the new spiritual birth of thousands or millions of people corresponding to each age." That is how it's been in every age and in every dispensation. In this message, the trajectory of the King of Kings, he tells us there on page 13, and also on page 21, let's turn to page 21 at the bottom. He says, "And the message that the Hebrew people will receive shall be the message of the gospel of the kingdom, which revolves around the second coming of Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords in His claiming work. And when they receive Him, then they will also come to know the mystery of the first coming of Christ, and they will cry out, and they will weep, as they did in the 10th day of the 7th month, and then God will have mercy on them as a nation. Now, notice how they, as a nation, would receive mercy by receiving the Lord in His second coming. Just like among the Gentiles, each of God's elect as an individual would receive mercy at this end time through those ministries in the coming of the Son of Man with His angels. God will have mercy on them as a nation. 144,000 Hebrews will receive Him, and they will obtain God's mercy and be reconciled to God. God deals with the Hebrew people as a nation. Therefore, they will be, those 144,000 will be the elect of God of the Hebrew people, who will be called and gathered by the ministry of Moses and Elijah, by the ministry of the angel who comes with the seal of the living God, in which the ministries of Moses and Elijah will be manifested. Surely the Lord God will do nothing without first revealing His secrets unto His servants, the prophets. Amos chapter 3, verse 7. God, through His prophets in every age and in every dispensation, has carried out the work relevant to that time. He has called and gathered His children. And notice that once their work is finished, God takes them. But those elect in that age are already sealed. And for this in time, He promised to send those reaping angels in His coming to carry out that gathering, both to the church bride, in which He comes as a thief in the night, and of the Hebrew people. Notice, He brings double blessings, double portion, double action, double work. Everything is double. In His coming, everything is double. Now, in the message, the 70 weeks of Daniel, here he tells us on page 125, which corresponds to 145 of the other version, he tells us, the message has gone forth to the latter church. And he writes there, last Laodicea, church that rejected its Christ. The Jews are in their homeland for the spanning space of time, 40 years. And he writes there, on the left, upwards, he writes, for 40 years. And on the right, he writes, Laodicea has rejected its Christ. The new city has been built. They are watching for what? A coming Messiah. And he writes above, Moses and Elijah. When will it be? I don't know. When that stone smites the image here, and above stone he writes Moses and Elijah. It is the coming of the Lord. That stone that he saw there in that vision in the book of the prophet Daniel, in chapter 2, it's the stone cut out without hands. It's the second coming of the Lord. When that stone smites the image here, she is gone. It's all over then. There is a writing here that he left for us where he says, the first coming of Christ, the Word made flesh, was the greatest miracle and His work of redemption. And His second coming will be a great miracle. I will read it again. The first coming of Christ, the Word made flesh, was the greatest miracle and his work of redemption, and his second coming will be a great miracle. He goes on to say here in the message, the Word made flesh at the last day, and for this end time, we have the promise that the Word will be made flesh and will work in all His fullness and will complete His church, and then He will carry out the work of the physical redemption, which will be the resurrection of the dead in Christ and the transformation of us who are alive. That is the work that He comes to carry out in His second coming, like the Word He came to carry out in His first coming, which was to give us that theophanic body of the sixth dimension by receiving Him in His first coming as our Savior. We thus obtained the new birth, and we obtained that theophanic spiritual body of the sixth dimension. But it doesn't end there. He would continue His work, and in His second coming, He would come to bring us, to give us that rapturing faith, that transformation faith, and to fulfill that claiming work in us, which means giving us that glorified body, a perfect body, in the image and likeness of the perfect body that He received when He resurrected. In the Book of the Seals, on page 352, He tells us there, halfway down the page, or a little below the middle of the last paragraph, He says, and just about the time the Antichrist moves Himself fully on the scene, God moves Himself fully on to redeem it all. And He writes there, to transform us, adopt us. Now, He goes on to say, therefore, the voice of God, the voice of the angel of the covenant, the voice of the Word that will be made flesh, will be heard in the midst of His church. It will be heard in the midst of all the nations. Israel will also hear it. And all of that will be the last trumpet, God's final message for His church and for all mankind. Why will Israel also hear? Because what the seventh seal is to the church, which is the coming of the Lord, is the seventh trumpet to Israel, Moses and Elijah. And the third pool is for the lost, for the church, the foolish, and for the bride, that is, for all mankind. That is why I have always told you that everyone has to listen. Every person must listen. Sooner or later, they will listen. Will be given by the Word made flesh, the Word through human flesh, at the last day, in the midst of His church. Now, what was the last sign that Israel saw back then? Look on page 73 of the Book of Quotations, paragraph 625. He says, the last sign that Abraham, with the covenant, the last sign before rejection of the lukewarm church and her destruction, was the sign and perceiving the thoughts in the hearts and the mind, God manifested in a human flesh. And the last sign that Israel seen before she was cut off was the same thing, and they said, it's Beelzebub, a fortune teller. And now is the hour. God, let this sink in. Now is the hour that the royal seed of Abraham. Do you get it? God manifested in human flesh, giving them their last sign before the destruction of the lukewarm and the going away as it did. There, on the left, he writes upwards, the royal seed of Abraham. In two lines, and the third one is going upwards, God in flesh. And below that, he writes, before Israel was cut off, the last sign that Israel saw was God in flesh in Jesus. And they called him Beelzebub, a fortune teller. Before Israel was cut off, the last sign that Israel saw was God in flesh in Jesus. And they called him Beelzebub, a fortune teller. Notice what the religious leaders of that time considered Jesus to be. Now, he goes on to say, and that will be the white horse rider of Revelation 19, the Word made flesh in a man at the last day, meaning in the seventh millennium from Adam until now, as simple as that. Remember that great things are fulfilled by God in simplicity. Now, notice, on page 170 of this book of quotations, paragraph 1527, he tells us there how he would be revealed. And notice he says, Jesus, when he come, he was to be a prophet. That's right. And today, before Jesus comes again, the full manifestation of the person of Jesus Christ is to be manifested in flesh. And above where it says of the person of Jesus Christ, he says, pillar of fire, the Holy Spirit. Because Reverend William Branham said that the Holy Spirit would be made flesh at this end time and would be operating the ministry of Jesus, the one of Moses and the one of Elijah. Think of it. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man, when the Son of Man is being revealed. What is revealed? Unfolded, made known. On the left, he writes there, S.M., meaning Son of Man. And on top, he draws a cornerstone and the ages there on the left. And below that, he writes, revealed equals unfolded, made flesh. I correct myself, made known. Revealed equals unfolded, made known. And above that he writes, before Jesus comes, the Messiah equals a prophet. Now, he continues to say here in the message that we're reading, how will we know the Word made flesh at the last day? His work will go before him, which will be the fulfillment of what is promised for this end time. We will see him working in the fulfillment of what has been promised for this end time. And that will be a work of God. Everything will be based on what is promised for the last day. So, we will see him in that work. That is the work that the mighty angel would carry out. Look, in the book of the seals, on page 113 and 114, 113, it says, halfway down the page, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, what happened? And I heard, as it was the noise of a thunder, Oh, how I'd like to dwell on that just a few minutes. And I hope that all the peoples that know these things and are waiting for the consolation of the Lord will now study real close. And on the tapes also, that you'll think of this. The first thing happened when that lamb broke that first seal, a thunder roared. Now, that's got a significant. It's significant. It's got a meaning. It's a meaning. Nothing happens without a meaning. There is a place where he says that whoever takes away from it or adds to it has an intent, has something. It is written in one of the messages because God has a reason for everything he does, and the enemy of God has a reason for everything he does, and people have a reason for everything they do. And whoever adds to it or takes away from it has something, has a... I cannot use the word reason. He has an agenda or something. He has. Let's see if I can find it quickly. I think we have read it. You can send it to me if you can find it. It's significant. It's got a meaning. It's a meaning. Nothing happened without a meaning. All right, a thunder. A thunder roared. Wonder what that thunder was? Now, let's read a little bit in the Bible. Let's turn to Matthew. No, let's go to St. John first. St. John, 12th chapter. And just hold on a minute. St. John, the 12th chapter. And now, let's begin with the 23rd verse of St. John, chapter 12. Now, listen here. Now, real close. Then, you won't have to wonder no more what is it. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. The writing was, that is in the message and knoweth not. That message, I brought it with me, should be here. Look, there in that message he writes, whoever takes away from it or adds to it has an ultimate goal. See, there's something behind it. He has a reason, something, for adding to it or taking away from it. Whoever takes away from it or adds to it has an ultimate goal. Now, he goes on to say, I'm on 113. See, you're at the end of an age there. His ministry is ending. See? The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. What about the hour has come that when his bride must be taken away? And he draws a cornerstone on the right and the ages. What? The hour has come that time shall be no more. The angel is ready to set one foot on the land and the other one on the sea, with the rainbow over his head, his feet, and say, now comes the work of that mighty angel of Revelation chapter 10. That is the Lord in his coming. And say, time has run out. And besides that, he raised up his hand and swore that time would be no more. And above that he writes of redemption. When this happened, how perfect it is, a sworn affidavit to the church. And he writes on the left, Revelation 10 from 1 to 11. And he goes on to say here, they won't be able to impersonate that work. He will be the one who knows how to carry it out, because that work would be sealed in him, the way that God seals his program and puts it in the messenger relevant to each age. Now, which things would he be doing in his coming? Look, he would be doing, and it's summarized in what I'm about to read. In the message, the second coming of the Lord, on page 6, he tells us, And it's now one of the most horrible times for the unbeliever and sinner that he has ever witnessed, because the doom time is close at hand. And he writes there on the left, judgment. And it's the most blessed time for the believer, for his redemption is at hand. That is our time. That is our part. There is two factions on the earth tonight, the believer and the unbeliever, the one the Lord is coming to receive and the one the Lord is coming to condemn. At his coming, will bless one and will curse the other at his appearing. And he writes upwards to the right, appearing, coming. And look, here in front, he writes, everything rests upon the second coming after his death in the first. In his coming, he will bless some and curse others. Everything rests upon the second coming after his death in the first. In his coming, he will bless some and curse others. Now, he goes on to say here a bit further on this message that we are reading, and now we will know the Word made flesh at the last day, in the works that the Word will be carrying out through human flesh at the last day, the works of the divine program which are promised for the last day. In the message, Marriage and Divorce, he also tells us there, on page 24 of this message, he says, now, we find out today that the church character, Satan and his group, look after big, beautiful churches, beautiful things. That's what the world looks for today. Oh, it's the pastor, the great so-and-so time, and so-and-so so priestly and godly, walking out these big robes and things like that. They call that beauty. But the real saints of God looks for the character of the vindicated word. And above he writes, the word made flesh. That's what the saints did in that day when they seen Jesus. He wasn't nothing to look at, but they seen God was in him. They seen that God was with him. Now he goes on to say, in the message that we're reading, it is in those promises that the Word made flesh for the last day will be working. For example, we have a promise here of something he saw. I will tell you where it is later. Let's see. Now, I was getting pretty old, and I thought, will there be another revival? And he begins to read, I'll see another time. And just remember, from the west will come a white horse rider. We will ride this trail again. That's right. Soon as we get ready. It's a promise, you see. Therefore, if someone will come on a white horse from the west, on the white horse of the Word, that will be the Word made flesh at the last day. On page 166 of this book of quotations, paragraph 1481, he tells us there, the quote that he read there, was on page 166, paragraph 1485. That was the quote he read. And there he wrote, we'll ride this trail again. And upwards, he also writes, the west, a colon, a rider will come on a white horse. Now, let's go there in that same page, in paragraph 1481, he says, when it's inspired to you to see His presence here of St. Mark 11 or St. Luke 17:30, that He's going to reveal Himself in the last days among His people in human flesh, like He did before Sodom. And when the true, genuine vindication of the Scriptures of this last day message, and you see the presence of Jesus Christ, that you had heard what He done in His life, on the right He writes, last day. And here the Scriptures say, He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And just before the Sodom condition is fired over with the wrath of God, see Jesus return amongst His people, formed in human flesh, and do the same thing He done. My, it ought to strike our souls to glory. And there to the side He writes rapture. And below that He writes, Jesus comes in flesh. And at the top, He also writes, Jesus in human flesh. And in a writing, look, He wrote here, in the notes, in the back, there's a place here where He writes, Revelation 10, messenger, a colon, messenger to the Jews. Revelation 10, a colon, what is it? Posing a question. It is Revelation 11:3.
Lo mismo.
Revelation 19 is the same thing as Revelation 11. The coming of the Lord, the coming of the Son of Man with His angels is there. And another sentence there at the bottom, who is the Messiah? He places that question there. Now, he goes on to say here, because in the book of the seals, page 256, when he speaks about that rider that comes on the white horse in Revelation 11, he says, but when our Lord appears here on earth, He'll be riding a snow white horse, and He'll be the Word. He'll be the Word completely, fully, the Emmanuel, the Word of God incarnate, in a man. Page 121 of this book of quotations, paragraph 1074 tells us, on this page 121, He was Elohim, manifested in human flesh, wearing human clothes, eating human's food. Amen. A sign that in the last days that God will appear again in human flesh. Amen. Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also. And as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. And he writes there above, of Son of Man, he writes Christ in a prophet. And above, he writes, the works that I do, shall you do also, Jesus said. Greater works shall you do, he says. The works that I do, shall you do also, Jesus said. Elohim equals God in flesh. And look, right here, on page 121, paragraph 1077, he tells us there, a little while, and the world sees me no more. It cannot see Him. Their eyes are blind. But when you see the Son of Man revealed, the Word comes back in human flesh. And to the right, He draws a cornerstone and the ages. And on top, he writes, the Son of Man, in other words, as M, the Son of Man revealed, equals the Word in flesh. Now, look, in this writing, which is a piece of paper, where he writes downwards, but it's quite a lot. Look, he writes, the great secret of the seventh seal is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ as Lion of the tribe of Judah, as King of kings and Lord of lords. King God, King Theophany, King Jesus in flesh, Son of Abraham, Son of David, and Son of Man. It is the Word made flesh in a man, as his forerunner said in the seven seals. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ in his angel to fulfill all the messianic promises or prophecies of the second coming of Christ. Messianic promises or prophecies of the second coming of Christ. He comes to fulfill all those things in his coming. I will read it again for those who are writing. The great secret of the seventh seal is the coming of the Lord, Jesus Christ as Lion of the tribe of Judah, as King of kings and Lord of lords, King God, King Theophany, King Jesus in flesh, Son of Abraham, Son of David, and Son of Man. It is the Word made flesh in a man, as his forerunner said in the seven seals. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ in his angel to fulfill all the messianic promises or prophecies of the second coming of Christ. Messianic promises or prophecies of the second coming of Christ. Now, he continues to say here, and now, he tells us here that someone is coming from the west on a white horse, and he says, we will ride this trail again. It's a promise. In the message, the trial, he tells us there, look on page 13, on 14, he says, and we notice that when Jesus came and tried to reveal himself as Son of Man, don't miss this, when he revealed himself and called himself constantly the Son of Man, Israel was blinded. They knowed nothing about what Son of Man meant. But they said, Son of David. When blind Bartimaeus run out and recognized him, David meant king. Remember, Son of Man, Son of David, Son of God, which was Lord. This Jew got what he asked for because he approached him in the name of the Son of David, the king. Meaning, he got what he came for because he approached. He says, in the name of the Son of David, the King. He wasn't Savior, but he was King. Remember that we are in a Jewish age. But when the Greek woman, the Syrophoenician, approached him in the name of the Son of David, he never even as much as raised his head. She had no claims on him in the name of the Son of David. He was not Son of David to that Syrophoenician woman. But when she said, Lord, then he turned around. But the church bride receives both titles. He turns his face to her when she calls him. He turns to look at her when she calls him Son of David, and also when she calls him Lord. She has a double portion. Blessed be the Lord. He was the Lord. See? Lord. He was Lord. Not Son of David to her. For us, he is our Lord and Son of David as well. Glory to the Lord. And he writes, Lord to the Gentiles. And below he writes, Christ reveals himself as Son of David, as King to Israel, after he completes his bride. To the church, he is Son of Man, and Son of God, and her Lord, and Son of David, because that title of Son of David is the one he would be manifesting at this time, because it is the time for the establishment of that kingdom and throne of David there in Israel. Therefore, that is where the bride will be. Therefore, he is her king as Son of David. Now, why wasn't he recognized as Son of Man? The Son of Man was the spiritual revelation, a prophet. Son of Man means prophet. And he writes there, Son of Man, prophet. Now, he goes on to say here in this message, it is the promise of the coming of the law of the Word made flesh at the last day in Amen. And how will we see it come? Fulfilling, working toward the fulfillment and fulfilling what is promised for the last day. Now, let's see one of the things that he would be carrying out. Look on page 32 of this book of quotations. He shows us there one of the things that he would be doing would be a gathering. He says, page 32, paragraph 267 of this book of quotations, he says, and then when God's people begin to gather back together, there is unity, there is power. And there next to 267, he draws a cornerstone. See? And whenever God's people gets together completely, I believe the resurrection will take place then. There will be a rapturing time when the Holy Spirit begins to gather it up. That is a work, see? And there he draws a cornerstone on the right, and the edges and an arrow towards the cornerstone. Up where? In the cornerstone. It'll be in the minority, of course, but there will be a great gathering. And at the top he writes, time of the rapture, rapturing phase. The gathering is at the top, and he draws a cornerstone. Now, he goes on to say, that is what the Word made flesh will be concerned with at the last day. The Word made flesh at the last day will be working on the entire program that has already been designed by God to be fulfilled at this end time. If it is promised that there will be a great tenth cathedral, then we will see him working at that program. Because it will also be there, not only for the sake of being built, but also for what will happen inside that tent. And he has said that that instrument would be working to make it a reality, and God will also be using that same instrument in the final ministry, using that place. Now, notice there is a case where Brother Branham was at one of the activities, and he had called the prayer line, and in this message, The angel of God, notice, he says, oh, I was half an ellipsis, the line, in other words, the prayer line, and there was a man just come up with a woman, and she was an ellipsis, us until, and when I took hold of her hand, of course, there was, feel the vibration, that is, those were the pools in which the Spirit of God was working in him, the first and the second pool he would feel. When he would take hold of their hand, the angel would show him the person's illness there. Felt the vibration, because arthritis is caused by acid. And I had prayed for the woman, and while an ellipsis, her eyes, she seemed to go into a trance. I just passed her on, of course. Then I left and was gone. Come back again in a few days, and her husband was at the door, and she said, Brother Branham, he said, something happened to my wife. She talks like she's delirious. And I said, what seems to be wrong? He said, well, here's what it is, said, when she was praying, when you was praying for her, she seemed like she was in a trance until we got at home. And she asked me, who was that other man that came down there with you when you prayed for her? And I said, there was no other man. Said, oh yes, a man with the white robe and with dark hair. I said, say that again, brother. And he said it again. And I said, that is the angel of the Lord that appeared. See? She said, why? He was looking down upon Brother Branham when he was praying. And I said, he talked to me, meaning he was speaking to her. And he said, now, you're looking for healing, said, Brother Branham's prayer will be answered. You'll be healed. But said, doesn't Brother Branham look awful frail? Said, but he will be strong after a while. So that gave me encouragement. See? He will be strong after a while. Now, the woman never heard the story. And she described and said, he was a large man, brown dark face, with black hair hanging down near his shoulders. The way he described him in the vision, she said, I seen him come down off the pulpit, and she'd never heard of it in her life. And said, when Brother Branham knelt down to pray for me, then this man looked, come up there. Instead of praying, he just kept looking down at Brother Branham and said, he looked down at me and said, now you come for healing and you'll be healed. And then said, now, doesn't Brother Branham look awful thin? Said, but he'll be strong after a while. See? And said, then when they started moving the stretcher away, he walked right on out the door with me, and that's the last time I seen him. Now, that's the angel of God. He's been seen many times in the services, and I know that he is here tonight. I know that he's here. I have felt him 3 or 4 times since I've been here. Now, that someone might know. Now, many people misunderstand. Now, this is in no means friend and angel worship. It is not. I do not pray in the name of the angel or even know his name. But if you'll check the scriptures, when God sends his people, it's an angel that directs them. Now, in that third pool, he says that Brother Branham was seeing everything that was happening without Brother Branham coming down there. He says, miracles happening without Brother Branham coming down. Now, that shows us that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the pillar of fire, was working with someone else who wasn't him. And let's look at that short part there, where he says, page 25 of this book of quotations, after he narrates all this story, well, he says, and it's been told me, paragraph 211, some time ago by a vision that the Lord gave me some year ago, I suppose, or maybe a little more, I have it wrote out in a book at home of a changing of a ministry. And then some time ago I was in a vision and I saw a large tent. Oh, it was a mammoth big affair. And I had just been speaking, and many souls were at the altar and were just kind of weeping with their hands up, quietly and softly. And there he writes, it wasn't in a Pentecostal denominational style. It was all quietly and softly, with a lot of reverence, reverently. A nice, gentle-spoken man came out to the platform. There on the left, he writes, a nice, gentle-spoken man posing a question. And said, now, they will form the prayer line while Brother Branham is making ready. And he writes, Elijah reflecting himself, that is, Brother Branham reflecting himself in that instrument that is there. And I was standing that way. Of course, the prayer line would be to my left, and I noticed a crowd of people that seemed to cover a city block or more, that was standing in line, and there was a woman standing there, a man, one taking names, and here he says a man, in other places he says that it is a woman or two women. And people were going in on crutches and stretchers and coming out the other side walking. Well, I wondered what all taking place in there. And then that angel of the Lord, whose picture you see here, it went from me and went right over that little building and stood there. Now, before turning the page, notice, he writes on the right, upwards, the tent vision, miracles happening before Brother Branham arrived. That is, before Brother Branham had arrived. Because notice, that Holy Spirit, which was in the midst of the church, would be made flesh at the end time. And that ministry would be operated by the Holy Spirit in a man. It would be the angel himself carrying out all of that through that instrument. And they wouldn't be able to see him. But they would be able to see him. Now, he says, he writes in a Bible study before continuing, there in a Bible study where they included that paragraph for him, he writes, the new ministry of the fourth Elijah, and in the fifth Elijah, it's the fifth Elijah's ministry in another prophet who will be one of the two olive trees. And now let's turn to 26, and he goes on to say, and there, he says, and stood there, then went down, and a voice spoke and said, I'll meet you in that place. Now, the angel told that woman, when he said to her, don't he look frail? He said to her, he's even thin, but the moment will come when he will not be frail. He'll be strong. And look on page or paragraph 104. There he says in one part here, halfway through the page, of the paragraph, page 15 of paragraph 104, it says, the Lord is fixing to visit His people in a great, marvelous something, friends. And it has to be a secret in my own heart. And there he draws a Star of David on the right, and upward he writes, the little room in the tent. It has to be a secret in my own heart. But as you know me, and you believe me, and love me, and respect me as God's servant, just remember I'm telling you, a blessing is on a road. Look, he's speaking about there, the future. A blessing is on the road. Today, we are receiving that blessing. How blessed are we? How grateful we should be every day, because what he was speaking about there today, we are seeing it, we are hearing it, and we are receiving it with all our soul. A blessing is on the road. And he writes, the tent. That's right, coming. And it will not be weakening. It will never weaken me no more. And it will be far beyond. And that is already super confirmed that it won't weaken that ministry. And he draws on the right a Star of David. Anything that's ever happened here or any time else, it's just something the Lord has given. I want that would make me a believer in grace after I have done, and the things that I had done, and the way that I had acted and condemned before God, and yet when God speaks anything and makes an ellipsis, He's going to do it anyhow. In other words, that will happen no matter what. That is already thus saith the Lord. Now he goes on to say here in the message, Reverend William Branham, when he saw that tent cathedral, he saw it full of people, and he saw an altar call. He saw preaching, an altar call, and also prayer for the sick. Notice the phases and stages which he saw there in that activity. He saw how all of that was already established by that ministry. An entire program. See? Just like when an activity is carried out, well, we have the reading of a psalm, of a scripture, then the prayer, then the song leader begins to lead the worship. And since we are on that subject, there's a place where he talks about the song leader. Let's see, it's here in the book of quotations, so that we can have it there too. It is on the left side. I didn't have it written down, but if you can find it, it's where he tells us about this. Page 118 on the left. There in paragraph 1049. He says there, and have a song leader, no matter who is it, and don't let them stand up and say and carry on like they're a preacher. See? Let them stand up there and lead songs. That's their business. It's the pastor's business to preach. Let your last song to be the pastor's call. Now notice he writes there, the worship leader shouldn't preach. Meaning, he should remain in the position in which God placed him to lead the songs. Now, he saw an order there, an established program. Notice he saw the preacher That is, he saw the preacher. But notice, before that, we can see how the activities begin with a reading, then the prayer, then the song leader leads the congregation in worship, then the preaching, because he saw that there was preaching there, and then he saw the altar call. Then he saw the prayer line, praying for the sick. And in one place he says, while our brother Branham is taking a moment's rest from this marvelous altar call, meaning, notice that there, from what we can see, he is still limited in that body, because surely, if he has had back-to-back activities in those days, because he went to one, and they gave him time to stretch a bit and go into that stage, that phase of the prayers, a prayer line, to pray for the sick. Well, notice all of that. We see that there's a program already established by that instrument, which the Holy Spirit, through that instrument, is the one who carries out that entire program and puts everything in order. Now, he goes on to say, an entire program. And he says that he tried to calm down, to put his feet on the ground, but he was in the air and couldn't come down. Therefore, he was in another dimension. The resurrection still hadn't taken place. Come down. He couldn't come down. That is in the first verses or paragraphs where he narrates in 98. Let's see. Page 13, he shows us there, a little part there, halfway down the page, it says, there were hundreds times hundreds of people standing with their hands up in the air, weeping. I was trying to make my feet go down to where they were, but I remained up in the air. In other words, it wasn't the time for the resurrection yet. Now, later on, he says that he and the angel went down. Now, notice how all of that is a program that God would be unfolding at this time. Now, he continues. He was seen, he says, speaking about Brother Branham, he was seen. Who? Brother Branham. He was seen, the work of the Word made flesh at the last day. He was seen, the work which that instrument was carrying out. He was seen, the work of the Word made flesh at the last day. He saw that the pillar of fire go to a little room, and then the angel who accompanied him also went there with him, and he saw many things there. The angel even asks him, on an occasion, do you remember the name that you were looking for when you had the tenth vision? There is a name there. What name could it be? Well, the name of the Word, of the Word made flesh. Look how simple and clear. Which name was there? Well, the name of the Word, of the manifestation of the Word made flesh. When the Word was made flesh 2,000 years ago, he had a name, Jesus. And Revelation 19 says that he comes with a new name that no man knows but he himself. Meaning, he comes with a new name. He has a new name. His name would be new. He only would know it. He, only he, would know that that is the new name of the Word. Now, if the name of the Word made flesh is what he saw there, in that manifestation of that work that the Holy Spirit was carrying out in the midst of his church, and Brother Branham hadn't come down yet, then we already know it cannot be that one. As simple as that. It has to belong to the ministry that is there in the midst of the church, the Holy Spirit operating those ministries of Moses and Elijah to carry out that work, that program, which he promised that he would carry out at the end of time. Later on, some will seek, they will manage to obtain some knowledge, but they won't manage to obtain all knowledge nor find out how to use it either. In other words, whoever says, no, I know, this is the name, and I'm going to use it already, don't get ahead of yourself. And even those who think the way it was spoken in the 70s, he also said to wait on that. Now, if he says that they won't have obtained all the knowledge, then you cannot say that you have it. But then, in the dispensation of the kingdom, when the kingdom is established, there it will be already clear for all of mankind. In that day shall there be one Lord, that is YHWH, and his name one. Now, he said it in the book of the seals on page 131, that he had received a new name. He tells us there, and Jesus, his name on earth was Redeemer. Jesus, when he was on earth, he was the Redeemer. That's true, but when he conquered death and hell, he overcame them and ascended on high. He received a new name. That's the reason you holler the way they do, and they don't get nothing. It'll be revealed in the thunders. Notice the mysteries. He's coming, riding. There's got to be something to change this church. You know that. There's got to be something. Notice, no man knowed but himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he tread the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of the Almighty God. And he had on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Revelation 19:13-16. There comes the Messiah. There he is. Where is he? In the white horse rider with a new name, veiled and revealed at the end of time in the midst of his church. Now, he goes on to say, that name will be connected to the second part of the work of redemption. Because the first work of redemption was to give us that theophanic body created by God in the sixth dimension. And the second part of that work of redemption is the one of our body, which God will transform. Will be connected to faith to be transformed and raptured. Therefore, it will be connected to the mystery of the seventh seal that lies within the mystery of the seventh seal, and the mystery of the seventh seal is the coming of the Lord, the coming of the Word made flesh at the last day. There is the part of the second coming of Christ with his church, which will be at the end of the great tribulation, that is, after the marriage supper of the Lamb, which during that time of 3.5 years, the earth will be going through the great tribulation, and the church bride will be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. After those 3.5 years end, he says that there is the part of the second coming of Christ with his church, which will be at the end of the great tribulation to begin the kingdom. But there is a very important part in the coming of the Lord, which will be for his church, where he will come as a thief in the night. And that will be before the great tribulation. And that will be the coming of the Word made flesh to reveal Himself to His church, to give them the faith for the rapture and transformation, and go with Christ to the marriage supper of the Lamb. On page 54 of this book of quotations, paragraph 468, he tells us, as long as you love the world or the things of the world, then God's love is not in you yet. See? But as long as you are above that, then you know you have your inheritance. See? You are on your road to your full redemption. In other words, the transformation. And now, that will not come, you see, until we must see Jesus. Oops. First, we must see Jesus in His final manifestation. And He writes above that in His second coming. In other words, we must see Him in order to obtain that physical redemption. And when He comes, then we'll have a body like His body, and we'll be made like Him. There's a great mystery hidden there, which has been and is being revealed. And notice at the top he writes, first we must see Jesus, second coming, the redemption of the body. In other words, first we see that manifestation of that ministry of Jesus and of the ministry of Moses and Elijah at the end of time. And now, look, in this message, modern events are made clear by the prophecy. He tells us, on page 24 of this booklet, page 24, he says, And you receive me not. Another will come, and him you will receive. You'll take your denominations and go on with them. Just go ahead, the Bible says. They were raised up to fulfill this place, blind, naked, and don't know it. Church, religion, oh, very pious, just the same as Cain was. Make a sacrifice, make everything just the same as Abel did. But by revelation it was revealed to him what the sacrament was, not fruits of the field and something you do with your hand. The believer can see the Word made flesh. The others cannot do it. And he writes on top, the Word made flesh. Now, the believer, he can see the Word made flesh. How many are believers here? Well, then you have seen and are seeing the Word made flesh. You see how simple everything is? All them Israelites, after they had seen Moses perform that and brought them right up to the great council where it was to be held, every one of them said, we'll go with Balaam, because we think that Dr. Balaam is right. He's smarter, he's more educated, everything, so we'll just take it. And God never did forgave them. He destroyed them right there in the wilderness. And he writes Balaam. And Jesus said himself, they'll never come. There's none of them saved, Jesus said. They said, our fathers eat manna in the wilderness for 40 years. He said, they are everyone dead, eternally separated from God. They are everyone dead, certainly, because they listened to an error when Moses, the vindicated of God and a leader to show them the way to the promised land, and they had come so far all right, but they wouldn't go on with him. Now, believers can see it, but unbelievers cannot see that vindicated. And he writes on the left, at the top, upwards, he writes, the believers can see the vindicated word made flesh. In other words, that word and that promise he gave, that at the end of time the word would be made flesh, that word being quickened, being fulfilled, made a reality. The believers would see it, the unbeliever wouldn't. Look how pious Caiaphas was. Look how all of them priests, how pious they was. And Jesus turned around and said, you are of your father the devil, and his works you'll do. But there was a few believers sitting there. Do you think them disciples could have understood when Jesus said, I and my Father are one? They couldn't have explained it. When he said, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man, drink his blood, you have no life. Could they explain it? No. But they believed it because they seen God being vindicated and made flesh. And he writes God in flesh. Now, notice there's a place where he says, here in the book of the seals, let's see if we can find it. It's where he says, first, they will believe. Or first, believe. Here in 374, he says there, do you enjoy the sixth seal? You see where it's open at now? Have you believed it? It said, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? See? Believe the report, then the arm of the Lord is revealed. The arm, the word of God is revealed. And he draws a cornerstone in the ages on the left. And notice, he writes above that, believe, and then it will be revealed to you. But if you say, let's say, to begin with, I don't believe that. Well, you know what? Then it won't be revealed to you. See how simple it is? The person must believe so that the arm of God, the power of God, the revelation of God comes to that person, to that individual. Otherwise, how will it come? If the first thing he says and expresses is unbelief, I don't believe that. How is the Holy Spirit going to work in a negative, unbelieving person? The Holy Spirit must always work through human beings who believe in his word. Jesus said, if I do not the works of my Father, then believe me not. But if I do the works of my Father, the word that was predicted for me to do, then you, if you cannot believe me, believe the works that I do, that you might be saved. See, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. And he writes, my sheep to the right. They know my word. They see it when it's vindicated for that age. And he writes there, fulfilled above vindicated. Well, Caiaphas knowed the word too, but not the word for that age. You might also know the word of the prophets who have come, and of the sacred scriptures and the message. But if you don't believe the word of the time in which you're living in the present day, is of no use to you. He had the word of what the Pharisees had poked into him, but not the vindicated word of the hour. They know my voice. They know my sign. They know my wonder. Notice in front he writes, the believers, and he writes above, genes of God. If we are believers, that means that we are genes of God. You and I are genes of God, of the Creator of the heavens and the earth, whom we have come from. Those are the believers. Believers can see God made flesh. And he writes above the promised word. Believers can see God made flesh. Today, the others cannot. In other words, either you're a believer or you're not a believer. But notice how God, in his mercy, tells you, believe. Believe, because I will work under that step that you will take in faith. Because already by saying, I believe it even if I don't understand it, but you are already taking a positive step of faith. I believe it. I don't understand it very well, but I believe it. Help me, Lord. And God begins to work in the life of that person, of that believer. Now, he goes on to say here, that is a manifestation and revelation for his church. And we will see him, the angel of the covenant, the Holy Spirit, coming veiled in human flesh in the midst of his church. And now, notice in a writing here, he writes, before the adoption, and in between parentheses, they, before the adoption, Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And above, you are the Christ, he writes, the Messiah, the Anointed One. And the Christ of God, he writes, the Anointed One. And another sentence further down, that's two sentences. And today he is the Christ, the Son of David, and he writes, the Anointed One, the Messiah, King of Kings, and the Lion. And today he is the Christ, the Son of David. They will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Notice, for God's elect, who are living at this end time, most won't see death. Why? Because they are seeing the coming of the Son of Man coming with power and glory to establish that kingdom. Therefore, the promise is for our age, because it is in our age and our dispensation that the Son of Man would be manifesting himself, veiled, the Word made flesh in a man at this time. That wasn't the case in past ages. And the promise is that we wouldn't see death. If someone lives before then, there is no problem. He will be waiting there for him to pass by, gather them, and bring them to earth in a glorified and eternal body. But we want to remain because the action is here. They go over there to rest. Now, he goes on to say here, and we will see him, the angel of the covenant, the Holy Spirit coming veiled in human flesh in the midst of his church. And thus, he will become part of his people, working in the midst of his people, in the fulfillment of what he promised for his church. The Word made flesh at the last day. Now, notice, in this message, the spoken Word is the original seed. On page 60 of this message, he says, he is the seed Word in his body, and he, in us, becomes the seed Word in us. What? All that God was, he poured into Christ, and all Christ was poured into the church. That's the power. Now, watch. Remember God's law for production? Now, remember, after its kind, That's right. The seed of Christ, and he writes, the second coming, the seed of Christ, the Word, must come through his body. And above he writes, the bride. And notice what he writes above the paragraph. The Word made flesh of this message, the spoken Word is the original seed. He writes there, the second coming of the Lord through one who is born again. In other words, through a member of the church of the Lord, the fulfillment of his second coming through a member of the church. Are you getting tired? All right, just a minute now. Let's just hold quiet and pray. I want to get this in real good. I want this to grind down. The seed of Christ must come through his body, not through a denomination, but through a born-again seed of the Word must come through. In other words, it must come through the church bride. The second coming of the Lord through one who is born again. And he writes upwards on the left, the coming of the Word through his body. Of what word? Of that word, Son. And he draws a star of David there too. Now, remember, what is it? Christ's seed. How does my seed come? Through the body. How does the apple seed come? Through the body. Seed is through the body, and the church is the body of Christ. Is that right? The Bible, church, this birth produces, that's the new birth, himself in body. What does that seed produces in the body? Himself, the manifestation of the Lord in his coming, that is, his ministry. Now, there's a writing here that he also left for us in a Bible study where he writes there, it will be the same Holy Spirit, Melchizedek, working through a veil of flesh. The same one who worked back in the time of Abraham, Melchizedek, king of Salem, and king of peace. It will be the same Holy Spirit, Melchizedek, working through a veil of flesh. Now, he continues to say, see how simple it will be? It's because it will be so simple. You see how simple it will be? And his words will testify of who he is, because he will be working and fulfilling what he promised. Those will be the works that he will be doing at the last day, before the great tribulation. So then, before the great tribulation, there must be a revival among the human race somewhere with a revived ministry and people where God will be working, fulfilling his promises. Now, notice in the book of Quotations on page 105, that's where he tells us that he is the one that cares the most about fulfilling his word, his promise, his promises, his program. Page 105, paragraph 916, he says, Jesus cared in... Pardon me. Jesus cared enough for the message of today to bring these same things to pass as he did, till he died and rose again to send them by the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to show his ministry today. That he is still alive. He cared enough. Won't we care? Of course. That's the thing. Won't we care? Yes, Lord. He died for this ministry. He died in order that the Holy Spirit could be here in this day to show these things. He cared for you. He cared to bring it here. He cared enough to do it, to send the Holy Spirit to this, make this ministry today. And on top he writes there, Jesus cares about the fulfillment of his promises. Oh, how beautiful, right? He cares about the fulfillment of his promises. And we also care about being a part of that work to fulfill those promises and to receive the blessings of those promises. In other words, we are people who work, who take action. We are not lazy. It is the age where God crowns the church bride with a hard working group. Notice what he tells us in this message, titled The Patriarch Abraham, on page 3 of this message. He says, that's all we care to know. God promised it. How is it going to be? I cannot tell you, but God said so. He will send Jesus Christ the second time. He will come in a physical form. And he draws a small star of David on the left. He will come in a physical form. He will claim his own because he comes to carry out the claiming work. There will be 1,000 years, millennium reign upon this earth with him, with the redeemed. That's what he promised. And we are looking for that hour to approach. And he writes there in the front, the second coming of Jesus Christ in physical form. Now, he continues to say here, Elijah will be there. The ministry will also appear in addition to the ministry of Elijah, manifesting the ministry of Moses and also the ministry of Jesus, which are the ministries promised to be repeated at the last day. And since the angel of the covenant was the one who operated them in Moses, in Elijah, and in Jesus, he will operate them again at the last day. Now, that's what he saw when the angel was showing him, giving him the revelation of the sixth seal. He saw something there. Notice on page 376 of this book of the seals, he says, the bride was done gone. It went, and she didn't know it, like a thief in the night. Then they begin to bang the doors, and what happened? What taken place? They were cast into the tribulation period. The Bible said there will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. It will be terrible. That time of the great tribulation. A time that we wouldn't wish upon anyone. Is that right? When will it be? When it's going to be? Brother, sister, I don't know. But it may be just me here. Now, see? This is my thought, see? I believe it's so close. I'm just trying to walk as softly as I can. That's where they walk with home-nailed shoes, where angels fear to trot comes to mind. Now, notice, he writes there to the left, the revelation, Christ. Something happened today, and I seen something come up. I couldn't get my breath anymore, see? And there he writes on the right, Elijah and Moses. There he circles, he, Moses, because he is a dispensational messenger. There he was standing there, that little light standing right there, and here it was, I know it's the truth. And there on the left, where he writes, the revelation, Rev, he abbreviated it, Christ with the pillar of fire. and he draws a cornerstone, and above he writes what the prophet saw, the second coming of the Lord. Notice that he saw the fulfillment of this seal in a man. I thought, oh God, I couldn't say that, I can't say that, I can't. I just walked out of the room, went out, walked up and down, brother. I thought, my, what can I do? Oh, I have to go fishing or something. Or I, boy, you wouldn't, you, I cannot tell you, see? Those things that he couldn't say, it says in the seventh seal that he himself, the Lord himself in his coming, would make them known. And he writes there in the middle of that paragraph that we finished, he writes, what couldn't he say? Well, it was none other than the ministry of the Son of Man with his angels in a veil of flesh. Now, he goes on to say, at the last day we will have in our midst the promised word made flesh for the last day, and the works that have been promised to be done by God at the last day. And we will stand hand in hand, supporting all those divine projects that are promised to be carried out by the word made flesh at the last day. In the book of the 70 weeks of Daniel, look on page 78, which would be 89 or 90 of the other book, the other version, he says, what was it? His people had just crowned him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. His people had just crowned him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he writes there to the left, King of Kings, coming back to his holy temple, anointed with the presence of God to live and to reign through the millennium with his church. Amen. The appearing with the mighty King to take her place at his side. The new royal anointed temple. An anointed man with an anointed people. Now, look in the message, why little Bethlehem? He tells us there on page 37, and he tells us, O warriors, pull. And he writes, draw the sword. Let's stand for everything that sword stands for. The sword is the word. Let's get to that well where there's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's vein. Not a Jew. Emmanuel's vein, God with us, where the sinners plunged beneath the flood lose and all their guilty stain, and there shall come forth a ruler out of Bethlehem, and he writes, King of Kings, that shall rule over my people. The Holy Spirit today rules over the people, and the Holy Spirit is the Word. And he writes to the left, the Word made flesh. On the right, he has also written in that paragraph, this word, there to the right. Now, he goes on to say here, and we will see the 10th cathedral appear. We will see the preachings that will be there appear. We have already been seeing the preachings appear. And there's still people who are waiting for the tent to appear. Or some are still waiting for the very beginning of something else, and we are already much further ahead. We are already enjoying the blessings of the preaching. But it is so simple that they overlook it. We will see the altar calls appear. We will see the part of the prayer for the sick appear. We will see all those things appear. And the time will also come when we will see the dead in Christ appear, who will be resurrected, and the living who will be transformed. All those who have seen the great tent appear, all those who have seen the preachings appear, who will see the altar calls appear, the prayer lines for the sick, they will see the resurrection appear, the dead who will resurrect. And they will also look at themselves in the mirror and will say, I have been transformed. In other words, they will appear. They will also see those who are going to be transformed, and they will see themselves and say, but I have already been transformed too. Look, you too. You're almost there. What do you need? Let's give you a hand. There is a very great and beautiful work, a work of love that will be carried out at that time. Like when you help your classmates at school and you say to them, look, this is like this and this is like that, so that they pass the subject. Likewise, at this end time, we help each other as peers. Fix this here. I'll encourage you. Keep going. Don't be discouraged. We're almost there. Or, I went through that. And, even though it was difficult, I was able to overcome. Therefore, since you are like me, because we are both overcomers, maybe it was easier for me than for you, but you will get it through. So keep on going, see? And we help each other and continue on our journey. Now, why will we see them? Look, there's a writing here that he left us where he says, after seeing the sign of the birth and coming of the Messiah, the King of Kings, the wise men searched for him. That's how it must be at the last day, and they will find him, for it is promised, and he will be found in a large tent cathedral. Where will the word be found? In a large, great tent cathedral, he says there. Now, he goes on to say, we will see all of that appear in the last day, in the time of the word made flesh at the last day. We will also be hearing the great voice of trumpet, or last trumpet. There's the preaching there, which is the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom, which revolves around the coming of the word made flesh, around the second coming of the word made flesh, as simple as that. If it was simple back then, it will be simple now, in our time as well. Notice, on page 14a, he tells us about that kingdom, which he would be establishing at this end time. Page 14a, paragraph 143. We will never do any good with politics. It's rotten. God's idea of having a king, a righteous king, is right. That idea of having a righteous king, which is right for God, is right for us too. It is right that at the end of time, God would have someone who would sit on the throne of David being restored. And he writes there at the top, God's idea of having a king, King of Kings. And to be here, as Mexicans say, and to be that king's cuate, to be that king's pana, to be the friend, partner of that king who cares, who cries, who suffers, who laughs, who rejoices, who eats, who sleeps, who nourishes himself. That is God's simplicity, all in a simple and humble way. Now, notice in this message, the oneness of unity. He tells us there on page 5, at the bottom he says, and Jesus knew that he was going to fall heir to them in the millennium. So he said, get thee behind me, Satan. That was when he was tempted. If the world was governed by Christ, we would stack arms and there would never be another bullet fired. We wouldn't have any use of a Sputniks and for hydrogen bombs to blow up people. When Christ takes over the governorship of this world as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the people will be united to him under one great big domain. It'll be a time. And he writes, King of Kings. All nations are wanting people to be one. Germany thought they all ought to be Germans. Russia thinks they all ought to be Russians. The Western world thinks they all ought to come under here. And they want them to speak one language, just like they did in Babylon. God said, they are one language. And he wants them all to speak one language. They want them all to be one united person. But it will never take place under man's dominion. But I'll say this, that there is coming a time when all nations will be united together under one king. And that will be Jesus Christ, God's Son. And they will speak one language. He said in the Book of the Seals, I don't have enough words or language to speak. He says something like that, meaning that divine heavenly language, which is the revelation of his coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They will be one in heart and one in purpose. One in heart and one in purpose. In other words, of one mind, one motive, one goal. Daniel saw the end when the stone was cut out of mountain without hands, and it rolled into the kingdoms of the world and crushed them, and they become like a trash on the floor, the husk that the winds blew away. But the stone covered all the earth. That stone is Christ. That stone cut out without hands. Now, that kingdom that will be established on this planet Earth will be there in Israel. But it will be a kingdom that will cover all the nations, the entire globe. Israel will be the capital, Jerusalem, and all the divine laws will be given from there for all mankind. That is why not just this Mexican people here, but all of Latin America that is following this ministry under the tent can say to Israel, Israel, you are not alone. Behold a people who love you, respect you, and are aware that the Messianic kingdom will be established among Israel. Let's stand as a gesture in this moment to say to Israel, Israel, behold your people, your friends who love you with all of our hearts. And we can say, as that sister said, we love you a whole lot. In Israel is where that work that the Prince Messiah will be fulfilling in his program at this end time will be carried out. And that will be possible at this time, because it is a promise, and since it is a promise, God is faithful to fulfill it. And may God bless, he goes on to say there, and may God bless all those who will be working hand in hand with the Word made flesh at the last day, in the entire divine project that has already been established by God for the last day. Each and every one of us, as hard workers and mighty people of the Son of David. These days, I was meditating on the plane while there was turbulence. And you might say, meditating during turbulence. Sarita was all shaky there. And I was holding my phone and recording. I received a song by inspiration. And then, at home, on Friday, I finished writing it there. And notice how God, with this song, before we arrived, He was already showing me what we were going to be talking about in our subjects these days. In Puerto Rico, if they can come up, because two nights ago, last night, they were there with Sister Ruth Daniela and Gabriel. They can go up there to the front to sing this song and that way share it with the brethren who will be learning it. And that way we can enjoy this song that God gave us, crowned as King. If they are ready in Puerto Rico, we can connect with the broadcast from Puerto Rico.
Coronado como rey.
Crowned as king.
Coronado como rey, Señor. armada con vestiduras blancas, y tú me enseñaste en tu palabra que uno de ellos era yo.
Aleluya,
aleluya. Amen. You taught me in your word that I was one of those seen by Reverend William Branham. In other words, he looked and saw many individuals, many people wearing white robes forming a large audience. How beautiful it is to identify oneself with the scriptures. I was one of them. Thank you, Lord, for your election. Thank you for your predestination, for choosing me. And we say, like that boy, but Mom, it's me. I am the one you thought of before the foundation of the world, who at this end time would see the Word made flesh, and who would crown Him, would receive Him as King, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, by recognizing Him, identifying Him as the Lord in His coming. The trajectory of the Messiah, the trajectory of the King of Kings, which is the Anointed One, which is the Christ, which is the Messiah. We will be joined by, let's leave the missionary Miguel Bermudez Marin here to conclude our participation on this occasion, thanking God for we are living at this time, and that by His election we know through the Word that we are those who would be at this end time seen the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in His coming, in His claiming work to claim everything He redeemed in His first coming, to claim you and to claim me, and thus to take us to the house of our Heavenly Father very soon, to the marriage supper of the Lamb. The trajectory of the Messiah, the King of Kings. He is the King of our lives. With us, International Missionary Miguel Bermúdez Marín, with us. And in February, February 7 and 8 will be in Monterrey. So, we will see each other in February there, on Sunday, February 8th, and on July 3, 4, and 5, right here. We'll be back here in Villahermosa on July 3, 4, and 5. May God bless you. May God keep you. And continue having a happy day filled with God's blessings. Thank you very much, Missionary Miguel Bermúdez Marín. Thank you to Reverend Andres Cruz Gallegos for all his kindness and hospitality these few days. And thank you to these loving people who have taken his program seriously at this time. No matter the heat, rain, or cold, they are here standing before the Son of Man to receive the blessings. May you return home with the presence of the Lord. May God keep you, protect you from all danger, and return joyful because of the word that God has given us. May it continue to bring forth everything that word was sent for. May God pour out blessings from heaven and earth upon all of you, and may the reward be great in the kingdom of the Lord. I will leave Missionary Miguel Bermúdez Marín with us again. Thank you very much for your kind attention.